Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to dig into some interesting stuff today, and I think you will very much like this. Retirement rules of thumb. Are they good? Are they bad? Are they evil? Are they to be taken seriously? We're going to find that out in just a minute. We're really excited. We have first-time guest, Laura Sharp-Bykowski. We hope she'll return. She sounds really good, and she knows what she's doing. She's a certified financial planner. Not many financial professionals get that designation. Last count, about 70,000 out of, I don't know, probably a million financial advisors in the country. So what's that, 7%? You can do the math of financial folks who have gone that extra step to become a certified financial planner. Laura is one of them. She's principal of Ascend Financial Planning. Her website, ascendfinancialplanning.com. And Laura comes to us with a lot of experience. She has been doing this work in Columbia, South Carolina, specializing in creating custom holistic plans for people that are, you know, 5 to 15 years from retirement. Done a lot of work to help support financial literacy and helping people understand better this whole investment and retirement planning thing, and has been featured in a number of media outlets, Money Magazine, Investment News, U.S. News and World Report, USA Today, and we're very fortunate to count her now also on Real Money with David Holland. She's formerly worked, this is quite the interesting background, I got you there, Laura, fashion model, iron worker, chemical engineer, and, of course, your favorite job, your mother to your son, Eric. And I got to ask, because there's an obvious joke there. Are you? Did you do, like, combine the fashion model with ironwork, like do fashion thing for,
no,
like...
No, but I did have a lavender hard hat,
okay.
I have to say.
All right. I was going to ask if you had, like, you know, did the modeling of the latest and greatest overalls or
it
something.
It was a little flash dancy, I have to say. But
okay. All right. Well, sounds very good, and welcome to the program. And I'm going to...
Thank you.
I know that you are a busy lady, and I want to make the most for our listeners of our time together. So the 27 minutes we have will go very fast, so I will dive right in here. You know,
sure.
I kind of set it up there with the introduction, I personally have to kind of close my eyes and plug my ears when these celebrity pseudo-advisors come on television who are quirky and unusual and, I guess, in their own way, entertaining, and they spout off all these rules of thumbs and general pieces of advice that I go, yeah, agree, don't agree, nope, that doesn't make sense. Well, wait a minute, how do you know that without knowing the person's individual situation?
Exactly.
So these rules of thumb, I think, in my opinion, I want you to tell me what you think, is that they are, probably at best, they are an attention getter and maybe something where an audio version of holding the hand up and saying, hey, people, take a look at this issue, but maybe not do exactly what the rule of thumb says.
Right. And unfortunately, people just, they're not educated through their lifetime in terms of what to do. So they get into a job and they don't exactly know what to do. And so they'll look to either the media or their friends or a neighbor, and they're going to tout these rules of thumb. And each person is so unique, just like you're saying. And I think it's so important for them to take the time to understand better what's going on in their financial life, be more intentional and committed about it, maybe see a planner that is going to talk to them about their individual situation, because you know these rules. When people say always do this or never do that,
yeah,
there's always exceptions to those rules. So unfortunately, if they follow the rules of thumb, it might not be the right thing for them.
Well put. And I think that you've also hit another point beyond, you know, kind of above and beyond the dangers of rules of thumb, which we can get into some in just a minute. But mm-hmm. You've also hit a very good point, Laura, and that is when anybody, and I tell people this all the time, every chance I get, that if you have somebody telling you that, you know, that everybody or somebody that everybody gets the same thing or everybody should have X, and it's very little regard for their personal situation, that's a big red flag. That's more born out of maybe what that person is selling or what that person is licensed or allowed to do by their employer. And, you know, that is what it is. You just need to recognize that that is not advice. That's not financial planning. That is a sale in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And that you just need to be, you know, aware of that. And they're not going to, probably not going to say, you know what, I don't think you need this product. Go down the street and get XYZ from somebody else.
Yeah, you make a good point. And that is, and I've actually written this down on my notes to make sure we talked about it, so I'm glad you brought it up, is make sure that whoever you're talking to about financial advice, that the professional that you do seek out, is going to be specifically asking you questions about your individual situation, your life goals. If they're not having that conversation with you, that's not a good fit. You also want to make sure that they're not focusing just on your investments, but your whole life.
Exactly.
So this is about knowing the person.
Well put. And, you know, it's funny. People, they just get a little tripped up on this, and I know you'll love the analogy. You know, we all understand how it works when we go in to buy a car, furniture, mattress, whatever. We know what the function is, you know, and I've never had anybody, because I like cars, I will confess, and I've been to many a dealership in my lifetime, and I've never had a single one, Laura, say, you know, David, based on what you're describing you're looking for, we don't have that here, but you know, the dealership just down the street, they've got that.
Yeah.
I've never had that happen.
Right.
But and what's interesting about that is we know that. Everybody knows that about going to a car or some of these other sales environments. But when it comes to finances, people seem to not, you know, just don't seem to be as aware. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, and they get persuaded by people who seem very confident. And so that can sometimes cloud their judgment. If they don't know better, because once again, they're not educated on this. We're not taught about anything about retirement planning or financial literacy in our high schools, in our colleges, and we get out. And we go to someone who we are told is supposed to be a professional, and they know what they're doing, and they're highly confident. And since we don't know better, we rely on them for their advice. And so,
yeah, they seem nice.
Yeah,
they seem nice. Seems like such a nice young man. Maybe he can help me. And they don't know anything, or they have no experience, or no credentials, or no latitude to recommend what's best for the person. But they're nice. They're funny. They, you know, I have a rule that what you talk about rules of thumb. Here's one people can really live by. If you don't, you've got to have three ingredients for a successful financial relationship with an advisor. You got to like them.
Right.
You got to believe them, and you got to trust them. You got to believe they know what they're talking about, which means usually you can see that show up in credentials and things like that.
Correct.
And you got to trust them. That comes from experience and interviewing and getting to know them and background and references and all that stuff.
And do your homework.
Exactly.
Like, I think it's so important. You can't just take someone's, you know, rule of thumb or someone's advice at face value. You've got to go and do a little bit of homework and ask questions. Don't just, don't just follow the advice without, you know, asking more about, you know, why is this a good product for me or what do you think about this long term? You know, don't be afraid to ask questions.
Exactly. And to your point earlier, Laura, which is very, very good, that people don't have as much familiarity with these financial topics. And so, therefore, as a crutch, they reach or accept that television or other source of rule of thumb because they don't have another way of getting quickly or imparting to themselves this knowledge. So, I'll just reach over and grab a couple scoops of those rules of thumbs and I'll use that.
But it's also that people are a little bit, I have to say that people aren't very committed. They're a little bit lazy when it comes to their finances, too, because they don't know. I know I hate to say that's very shocking, but I find, and I'm sure you do, David, that the people, the clients I see who are organized, they're intentional.
Oh, yeah.
They spend time every week on their finances. They're the ones that are going to be the wealthy people. They're the ones that we truly want as clients because they are committed to the process. Hey, as Americans, we spend more time making reservations for dinner on the weekend than we do focusing on our finances for the week.
Yeah, and they don't look at their finances, some people. And of course, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about you. We're talking about those other people. But, they don't look at their account until the 24/7 news cycle says, hey, market was down. Oh, well, wait a minute. I better go look and see what's going on. Oh, my gosh, my account's down. Oh, why aren't you keeping my money from losing money? That then becomes the call. You know,
right.
There needs to be an ongoing awareness. And I would love to touch on these rules of thumbs a little bit more detail, Laura. Let's grab a quick break. We'll come back with Laura Shar Bykowski. She's a certified financial planner, and she's principal of Ascend Financial Planning, ascendfinancialplanning.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Teresa Rand with the Volusia Flagler YMCA. Our Y has 6 locations to help you reach your health and fitness goals. With a focus on healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility, there are many different options to get your family involved, such as sports, swim, exercise, and much more. For more information on how your why can help with your health and fitness goals, check out www.vfymca.org.
And we are back with Laura Shar Bykowski, Certified Financial Planner, Principal of Ascend Financial Planning, and the website ascendfinancialplanning.com. Quick return to the rules of thumb, Laura, if we can. We, you know, we kind of gave a nice, big, fat setup and why this all this stuff is so important. And a couple of ones that I think that people would appreciate understanding, because everybody's told, and this is a well-intended, but it is certainly not the whole story. Everybody's told to make the most of their retirement plan at work, be it a 401k, 403b, 457, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And if they'll do that, everything will be all right.
Right. It's just an easy recipe for
sure.
success, right?
Yeah, just.
But here's the problem. So number one, most people don't understand truly what the maximum is. What they think the maximum is the amount that gets them the full match from their employer.
Right.
And so they say, okay, well, if I put 6% in, they'll match to 6%, so 6% is the maximum. Well, in fact, the maximum for 2015, and it's not changing for 2016, is $18,000. If you are under 50 years of age,
okay.
And if you're 50 or older, it's $24,000. So the max is probably a lot higher than what most people think it is.
Yeah, matched or not. So they can put in under
Correct.
50, put in 18 grand a year, and people rolling their eyes saying that's a lot of money, but
right.
how are you going to retire if you don't put money away?
Right. And the other issue is that if you have someone who's a higher income earner and they put the max in, that still might not be enough. So consider
right.
someone who's making $500,000. They put the maximum in. Well, that's still less than, even if it's $24,000, you know, and they're over 50 or over, it's still less than 5% of their income.
Yes, right.
So what they think is, I'm fine. I put the max in. That's all I need to do. That's all I was ever told.
Mm-mm.
But meanwhile, they really need to be investing a lot more of their, saving a lot more over and above that 401k, or else they're going to be having a very uncomfortable retirement.
They're gonna come to face the real meaning of the word austerity.
Correct.
Well, speaking of that, then okay, they decide to do more than the 401k. Then another kind of rule of thumb out there is, well, put 10% away.
Right.
That too may be insufficient,
rule.
Right?
Yeah. So, and this really was designed, this rule of thumb, back in the days where we had what they typically call, they use the metaphor, the three-legged stool of retirement. And so you had one leg that was a pension, and you had the other leg that was Social Security, and then you had private savings as the final leg. And most people didn't really have to save a lot because they had a darn good pension, and they had Social Security they could count on, and they saved a bit, but primarily they lived off of Social Security and their pension. I would love a pension. I don't have one. And most people, from what's going on recently with Social Security, that's becoming an exceedingly wobbly leg on the stool.
Yeah.
So we don't know that we can count on that. And so it puts much more of the onus on the individual to save more. So I tell my younger clients 15% is the new 10.
Yes.
And that could include their employer match when they're starting out. But if you're starting out later, if you're in your 30s and early 40s and you haven't put much to retirement, you're going to have to be saving quite a large percentage of your income, particularly if you don't have a pension.
Yeah, the pensions, of course, have changed radically, and it's much more of, you know, the worker being responsible for, you know, their own retirement. There's just no way around that. It's just reality.
I know. And I don't know about you, David, but I'm also concerned about lower investment returns over the next, let's say, decade, because,
yes. mm-hmm.
you know, they're looking at returns that, you know, for a balanced portfolio, you might get, with 50-50 portfolio, about 3.54% return on that, and that's before inflation.
Right.
And so what does that mean? If we're not going to get these robust investment returns like we've seen in the past, we're going to have to do more of the heavy lifting with the savings part. There's no way around it.
Well, that is the reality, isn't it? And and our jobs are not to tell people what they want to hear, Laura. That's to tell them exactly how this works, and just, you know, brace yourself for these expectations and make.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, that's the key role of a financial planner. I mean, I think rather than relying on the rules of thumb, go to someone who has expertise in this area that can, like you're saying, set expectations and provide adequate assumptions so that if you're going to run that projection, I want to make sure that I'm being conservative with my assumptions and realistic so that you have enough. Because I can tell you what you want to hear. I could say, yeah, the returns are going to be 7 or 8%
right.
and, you know, blah, 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 and your projection is going to look beautiful. But if that doesn't happen, I've failed you as an advisor. So it's important that we set expectations and provide the assumptions that, you know, ensure that our clients are saving enough so that when they get to retirement, they're ready to go. They're good to go.
Yeah, well put, Laura. If you're just joining us, Laura Shar-Bykowski is our guest today, certified financial planner, principal of Ascend Financial Planning, ascendfinancialplanning.com. We'll grab a quick break, come back with Laura. Stay right there.
Are you looking for convenient, straightforward financial information? Just say no to superficial sales presentations and yes to the free Real Money app. Get David Holland's new app for your smartphone or tablet. Just search Real Money with David Holland at your mobile device's store. You'll be able to access 17 educational TV shows, plus hundreds of radio shows and financial columns, all in the palm of your hand and on your schedule. So very easy and so very important to you. Again, to download the free app, search Real Money with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Laura Shar-Bykowski on the line with me, certified financial planner. And we're talking about some of these rules of thumb to be careful of. You know, they're meant to be, I guess, a starting point, but not an ending point. And so next up, the other one that's really interesting to me, I've always found this to be questionable and like to get your take on this too, Laura, is that these projections or expectations that you're spending is somehow going to magically slow down in retirement.
Right. And I don't know about your clients, but I just don't tend to see that. If anything, I see about the same spending, if not more, because my clients want to travel. And they
right.
have maybe kids that are just getting started out in life they want to gift to. Or, as we know, medical expenses are quite onerous in retirement, and we're paying for that with after-tax dollars as opposed to pre-tax. And it can go down over time. As we age, we tend to slow down, and we travel less, and we're a little more sedentary. But what I've found is when people first retire that their expenses are pretty much in line with pre-retirement, if not higher.
Yeah. In fact, there's a five-year period there a lot of times that people see a spike. And the thing that's really kind of funny to look at it this way is that when you're retired, every day is Saturday.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
exactly. And so there's a sense of, you know,
freedom.
Let's just go and travel and
spend.
Have fun and go out to dinner. And,
sure.
So I tell my clients I really don't want them to retire until they have established what they're going to be spending in retirement.
Yeah.
It's such an important and critical step. If you don't have an awareness of what you're going to be spending in retirement, then you shouldn't make that decision to retire, because you don't want to make that decision and regret it because you don't have enough. Right?
Exactly. So, well, it's kind of like that. There's a moment in the movie Castaway where Tom Hanks' character pushes back from this island. He's lived on for, I don't know, like 7 or 9 years as a he's kind of a castaway.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls away from the shore, and all he's got is what's on that little raft to see him through his journey of his,
right.
And there's this moment of realization, like, okay, I'm off the island, I'm on my own now with what's here. And that's a great analogy for people pushing back from their working careers, because once you leave, you know, then what you've got on the boat is what you have for your retirement. And that really brings us to the next point, that, you know, there's this, I don't know what you call it. Maybe it's a myth, or it's a expectation, or
uh-huh.
somehow been ingrained in us that if you don't retire by some specific age, say 65, that somehow you're a failure.
Yeah, and I see it's almost like a peer pressure.
Yeah.
That when someone retires early, they want everybody else to do it, because then it kind of confirms that their decision was the right one. And, you know, when I've looked at the studies on this, and they've done them both in the U.S. as well as over in Europe, what we find is that there's actually a higher risk of physical and cognitive decline, a higher risk of divorce, depression, death, substance abuse. It's kind of depressing. When you look at it, that early retirement, that you pull that trigger, and people think it's going to be a perennial vacation, like you're saying. It's going to be a constant Saturday night and, you know, Saturday. And I actually saw a recent description of retirement that I thought was a little more fitting. It said, don't think of it as a perennial vacation, but think of it as being unemployed for the next 35 years.
Hmm.
And I think that's a little more interesting because our clients often think this is going to be great. It's going to be like a constant vacation. It's going to, I'm not going to have any structure to my life. I can go on vacation whenever I want. I can do whatever I want. And then they realize, oh wow, this isn't a vacation. I've got a, I have no structure to my day. I don't know that I like it. I'm stuck with my spouse all day. I don't know that I like that.
Right. Right.
I don't see my friends at work, and I don't have that intellectual stimulation. So, you know, I think we put too much peer pressure and societal pressure on people that, oh my gosh, you're 65. Why aren't you retired?
Exactly.
When in fact, look at the people that are working and they're older and they're enjoying what they do. Hey, I would love to be Betty White, right? Doing what you love. You're
right.
Older. You're making money. You're still engaged with what you enjoy. And I tell my younger clients who come in and want to retire early, find something that you really want to do that you can possibly see till at least age 70. Because that's the reality of what it's going to be.
Well, and I, you know, back to the whole point about working with advisors, you know, that's a question that definitely should be asked. You know, if you're going to work with somebody, how long do they plan on doing this? And I've had that come up, and I'm very quick to volunteer, you know, my personal plans. And I'm definitely planning on working into my 70s because, number one, I like what I do. It's a lot of fun. It's very interesting work. But I'm not going to wait until I retire to take a vacation. So, you know, I'm going to do it along as I go. So it's...
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that people need to just really look at it. And I like the way you frame that of looking at yourself as being more like unemployed as opposed to vacation. Because that shifts the whole mindset from this sense of urgency to go spend when you retire, as opposed to being a little bit more prudently inclined and saying, hey, look, I'm not working, and so I need to pay attention to what I'm doing here.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good, very good stuff. You mentioned acting. I pulled up your website, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the X-Men, but you look just like the Jean Grey character.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool. So anyway, so there's another career for you there.
I tried that.
You could be the
little
Phoenix.
Bit with commercials and things like that, but it just wasn't me. I guess I needed to focus more on that. I'm a geek by nature,
yeah.
You know? I love to read white papers and finance journals and books, and so,
wow.
You know, I had to follow my passion.
Well, you do have to follow your passion, but hey, listen, you could be the Phoenix and have these extraordinary telekinetic powers if necessary.
Oh,
so,
if only. I wish.
Well, it's good stuff, and I think the other thing, speaking of magical ability, everybody would love to defer taxes and never pay taxes, but, you know, that's also another potential, you know, rule of thumb that maybe can end up hurting people is if they defer, and then say, hey, look, when I, some point in the distant future, I'll recognize and start paying some of these taxes, it could end up costing them more.
Oh, yeah.
Than if they'd actually started, you know, being a little bit more deliberate about drawing some of these funds out before they have to.
Yeah, and there's things we can do as financial planners to kind of help mitigate that by taking some income actually early, which is just so shocking to people. Why would I want to take any income now? Well, you know, if I can take income at the 15% tax bracket,
sure.
I'll take it all day long.
Yeah, because rates, listen, let's be honest. I haven't met a person yet that thinks that taxes are going to go down. And
right.
And we understand why. We understand the you know, where we are in our world and our country. But it is a little hard for people to wrap their mind around. And I have one client in particular that pops to mind because we met recently for her review. And she said, tell me again why you're telling me to take more than my required minimum distribution.
Right.
And so we went back to it. But, you know, here's the way I look at it, Laura, and you may approach it a little bit more from the, you know, a little bit more of an analytical approach. But here's how I put it to people. I say, look, what is your threshold for pain? How much can you stand? 15, 17, 18, 20%? Tell me the number that you can stomach, and then we need to expose your income on purpose and pay at that rate. And then, because it's gonna go up, and if you don't use it for your family getting this and inheriting this in the future, you know, it's likely to be higher for them, or they may already be at a higher income tax bracket than you are.
Well, and here's the problem, too, is when you get those, when the RMDs start required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half, then what happens is they get this big jump in their modified adjusted gross income. And then what happens is, and most people don't realize this, so I always set the expectations with my clients, that those Medicare Part B premiums go up, and they can go up quite dramatically. And so it is a surtax. And we, by taking, if we had more flexibility up front, or if we could take some income earlier on, it once again, it minimizes that impact. So, you know, what I often hear people who come in and they put everything in their 401k and IRAs, traditional IRAs, and then they say, save me tax. Well, you have just so little flexibility at that time.
That's right.
Whereas if they took, like, a perfect hedge would be to have a third of your money in a Roth IRA and a third of your money in, you know, after-tax fund, something you have in a brokerage account or a mutual fund company, and then a third of your account in a retirement account, because then you can pull from those to kind of, based on your situation, to you just have flexibility, right?
Yeah.
But most people just defer, and then they have what I call the tax torpedo, because, you know, aside from maybe taking some money prior to required minimum distributions and certainly taking advantage of any stocks that have large capital gains that we can sell while they're in that 15% tax bracket at 0% capital gains, which a lot of people don't do as well when they have that opportunity. I mean, once again, you try to take the opportunity where you can, and it's not necessarily a bad thing to create some income in those earlier years, or at least have that flexibility of different accounts where you can draw from if you want to utilize these strategies.
Yeah, and you blend together these withdrawals and you keep your overall taxes lower. And that's, of course, the purpose of a financial plan. And I had a guest the other day, you'll like this, Laura, that said, if you don't have a financial plan, you don't have a financial planner.
Right.
So there you are.
And what we found, the research shows that people like Employee Benefit Research Institute, when they talk to people who have planners, those people tend to be more confident about their retirement. And of course, that makes a sense, because we're looking at these numbers every year with them.
That's right.
We're reviewing the assumptions. We're constantly changing those based on what happens in the real world. I mean, you know, every day it changes. So.
Well, and a good financial plan is carved in jello, not in stone.
Correct.
And so we're going to have to adapt. All right. Laura Sharp Bykowski, ladies and gentlemen, certified financial planner, principal of Ascend Financial Planning. Her website is ascendfinancialplanning.com. Laura, I loved it. Great conversation. We'll have you back. Do it again.
Well, thank you so much for having me, David. I really enjoyed it.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.